This week's parsha, Parshat Vayera, opens with a very famous scene of a Kadosh Baruch Hu appearing to Avram Avinu to be mevaker chole, to visit the sick on the third day of Avram Avinu's bris milah circumcision. The parsha begins in source number 1, and Hashem appeared to Avram in the plains of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance of the tent in the heat of the day. And the Torah then continues to describe how Avraham Avinu sees three individuals, angels, peoples, Arabs, however you may want to look at it, and he runs towards them, and he exemplifies for us the model of achnasat orchim, the model of hospitality. And we know, and this is brought down in source number 4, in our davening, the Chazon Lama'ed points out, in our Tfilah Geshem, which we just recently said, we say, Zchor hanolad bivsaras yukach na matmayim, bisitkon chon chashrat mayim. Remember the one who was born with the news at the time when it was said that Avraham Avinu said, take now for yourselves a little bit water. It was in the zchus. It was in the merit of this hachnasat orchi, of this act of kindness, that Avraham Avinu got the good news that he would have a son with Sarai Imenu. And the Chazon LaMoed continues to point out that there must be something specifically about this act of chesed, that it was in the merit of this act of chesed that they were worthy of having a child, even on top of all their tzilos. And he continues by noting in the end of 4 that the Torah points out that each one of the major holidays corresponds to one of the Avos. And Pesach corresponds to Avraham Avinu, again based on this section of Lushi Vasiu Goat, of making these cakes, these matzos. And we know the entire chesed of Yitzhak Mitzrayim is really a reflection of a way to repay Avraham Avinu for his chesed to these angels. There's something fundamental about this act of chesed. And as the Alei Shur, Rav Shur, in source number 2 points out, that aside from the fact that the Torah tells us that Avraham Avinu planted an eshel, an inn where people came, this tree, in reality, this is the only Maisa Chesed, this is the only act of kindness, which is delineated in such detail in the Torah. There must be something fundamental about this act of Achnasat Orchim, that this is for what we are to learn from. This is our model of what Achnasat Orchim is about. And therefore, it behooves us to understand what is unique about these acts of Achnasat Orchim, this act, the actions that are found here, that makes it unique, that Avraham Avinu and Sarai Imenu are blessed with a child, that the chesed of Pesach stems from here, the chesedim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did in the Midbar stem from here. What is it about this act of chesed that makes it so unique? And perhaps to further the question, the Pritzadik, Reb Tzadok HaKohen, points out in source number 3 the following. Medayek ma'ashimatzinu shatara katva dafka ma'aseh kazo shel chesed, when we have specifically this act of chesed, Shebemet hamekabel lo nehaneh ma'chesed, sharei hayu malchai elyon, v'chol ma'aseh chesed lo nigvar b'chesed b'mashen rogeil hamekabel, v'halo davaru. What is even more fascinating, if this is, you want to tell me, the quintessential aspect of chesed, is it not ironic that in this act of chesed, there is no mekabel, there is no one receiving it. Because to whom was this chesed done? To angels. And we know angels just, so to speak, pretend to eat. So isn't it ironic that the chesed you're telling me of achnasat orchim, which is making your guests feel comfortable and giving them food to eat, and each one being served, you know, the finest tongue from 3 different animals that were shechted, all of this work, really, for nothing. They really didn't even enjoy it. They were angels. Halo davaru, it's something wondrous. How do we have to understand what this whole story is about? Just to further our question, and then Emir Tzashem will take a look at 2 aspects, and Emir Tzashem get a deeper look at what the chesed of achnasat orchim is about for our lives. It's a very interesting medrash, which is found in Avos Rabbi Natan. Let's learn this medrash together. The Medrash says in Source 5, Eov asad dalet p'tachim lebeito. Eov, Job, the famous personality, had made four entrances to his home. Kedei shelo yu aniyim mitzarim lakif et kol ha'bayit, so that the poor people wouldn't have to walk all the way around. And whatever direction they came in, they could enjoy. Vayu aniyim mesichim ma ochlim v'shotim b'toch beito shel Eov. And they would talk about what they would eat and drink at Eov's house. And when they would meet each other, one would say to their friend, Me'ayin atapa, from where do you come? And the other would respond, Mitoch beito shel Eov, from the house of Eov. Ule'an ata holech, and the other would ask, and where are you going? Lebeito shel Eov, to the house of Eov. Eov's house was clearly a place where people felt comfortable to eat and to enjoy. U'kishibau ala parnot hagadol, and when the terrible tragedies and challenges came, Amar lifnei Kadosh Baruch Hu, he says, Ribono shel Olam, wow, God, how could you have had this happen to me? Did I not, lo ayiti machil ravim, did I not feed the hungry, mashketz me'im, and give to drink those who are thirsty? Afal pikein, Amar lo Kadosh Baruch Hu li'ov, Hashem said that may be correct. But Eov adayin lo igati l'chatzi shiur shel Avraham. You think your achnas and orchin was so great? You didn't even reach a half of the level of Avraham Avinu. What's the difference? Ata yoshev v'shoheh b'toch b'itcha. You sit in your house while Avraham Avinu went out to look for guests. Two, at shidarko lecho basar hechalto basar, et shidarko lishtot yayin heshkito yayin. Whatever a person was used to eating, that's what you fed them. If they were used to eating, you know, prime ribs, you would make them prime ribs. And if they're used to eating a more basic meal, you know, you serve them, you know, falafel and salad. Whatever they were used to eating, that's what you fed them. Well, Avraham Avinu would feed everybody to the best of his ability. It wasn't only what he was used to. And finally, Avraham Avinu ensured that the people would then be able to thank God and appreciate the source from where all these goods are coming from. So we look at this medrash, and it seems clear that Eov, as great as he was in his achnasat orchim, in his hospitality, didn't even reach any component, any element of Avraham Avinu. But if you analyze this for a moment, ask the Chazon Lamoed in source number 6, hold on a second. Truth be told this, the mitzvah of staka, as it's delineated in Sefer Devarim, is referred to as kedei machsoro, that which the person is lacking, right? So you give a person what they're used to, and not that they don't have. So if a person is used to prime ribs, you give them prime ribs. A person is used to chicken, you give them chicken. For Avraham Avinu to give someone who's used to chicken prime ribs, then that is what we call lifnei mishurat hadin, above and beyond the letter of the law. But you can't blame Eov for that. I mean, Eov is doing what is correct. Why does it seem that Eov is faulted here? Where is Eov going wrong? It seems like Avraham Avinu is way out there. But Eov is dealing with things as where they should be. So again, this Medrash is screaming to us, let's understand the Achnasat Orchim of Eov, let's understand the Achnasat Orchim of Avraham Avinu, and try to find for ourselves a working model for our lives. To be able to do so, I'd like to raise one final question, and it's responding to this question in two different dimensions that we'll be able to have a sense of what is so unique about the chesed of Avraham Avinu. We know that Rav Belsky in Ei Yisrael in 7, during HaKadosh Baruch Hu's visit to Avraham Avinu, three travelers in need of lodging appear. It is possible, Rashi tells us, to understand Avraham's request, please pass not by your servant, as having been addressed either to the angels or to Hashem. If he addressed the angels, and the verse is found in the bracket in the second part of 1, if it is being addressed to the angels, it would be the word Aleph Dalet Nun Yud simply means my master and carries no kedusha, no holiness. If, however, Avraham Avinu was asking Hashem not to leave while he cared for his guests, then the Aleph Dal Nun Yud is Hashem's holy name. According to this reading that we're talking about Hashem's name, it's as if Avraham Avinu, when he saw the guests, said, Hashem, this is wonderful to have this experience with you. But you know what, Hashem, this is the first, you know, cool waiting type. I'm going to put you on hold for an hour or two. I'll get back to you, Hashem. I just want you to hold on while I take care of the angels. And from here, our rabbis learned the Gemara in Shabbos 127a, an astounding principle. Gedola hachnasar orchi mikabalos pnei ashrina. Receiving guests is greater than receiving the divine present. This is why Avraham Avinu asked the Kadosh Baruch Hu to wait, so to speak, while he fed his guests. Now, clearly the idea that hospitality should take precedence over the presence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu needs explanation. It is reasonable to assume that one privilege to merit a revelation of divine presence would immediately put aside any other obligations. But here we learn from Avraham Avinu that the opposite is true. So our final question, the first major question, is how do we understand this whole story as being the major story that has benefited not only Avraham Avinu, but his descendants for generations from this story, and there is no one really receiving, which makes it even more absurd. The second question, how do we understand Eov compared to Avraham Avinu? And our third and final question is, where is this audacity coming from that Avraham Avinu kivyachol saying to Hashem, I want you to wait, as important as you are, Hashem, even more important is to take in guests. From where does Avraham Avinu derive such a principle? Let's try to respond to this latter question, and in so doing, I think we'll be able to gain a larger sense of what this whole story is about, and I think come away with very practically some insights into the mitzvah of Achnasat Orchim, and as the title speaks about, the height, and or heights, of hospitality. When we take a look at the mitzvah of inviting in guests, it's a mitzvah, it's a very beautiful mitzvah. It's a mitzvah I can say personally that I grew up with as a child, where our table was always filled with people who were particularly, whether it was the widows or those who were lonely, aside from general guests, we're always at our table. This is something that is one of the bedrocks of how we have a Shabbos table. We raise our family. And the question that we need to ask ourselves is, from where does this mitzvah stem in the Torah? If I were to go back and ask myself, well, aside from this story of Avraham Avinu, where in the Taryag mitzvahs do I have the mitzvah of Achnasat Orchim? What is the basis of this mitzvah? So the reality is there are really two options. And the difference between these options is really the fundamental aspect of the model of what Achnasat Orchim is about. The Chazon L'Moed, source number 10, explains the following. Sheshnei minei hatavot heim, umishnei mekorot nifradim heim numadim. Yeshna hatava im chaveiro asher bedin ben adam l'chaveiro, yisoda, v'hi anomedem ha-pasuk v'ahavta l'recha kamocha. There's one aspect. It's basic interpersonal relationships, ben adam l'chaveiro, and it's based on, very famous, and this is probably what came through most of our minds, the famous mitzvah of v'ahavta recha kamocha, v'yikra yudchet, the way you treat others is the way you would like to be treated, and Suzi Perak Yutet, the way you would like to be treated, and therefore we have here the whole concept of the famous Rambam in the bracket in 10, that mitzvah daseh shel divrayhem, levakir cholim, lenachem aveilim, lotzi ameit, lachnis hakala, lulavos ha'orchim. And we'll talk about this Emirat Hashem later. The whole idea of achnasat orchim is really the focus. It's the way we escort the guests out. That's really the major part of inviting in guests. All of these mitzvahs, achnasat kala, all of these mitzvahs come from v'ahavta l'recha kamocha, come from this mitzvah of you should love your neighbor like yourself, and the way you would like to be treated, you treat others. That's the classic understanding of where the mitzvah of chesed comes from. But my friends, there is another option. And that other option is, going back to 10, ulam yeshna tava shebimidot sheben adam l'chaveiro, asher nomedet ma'pasuk v'halachta bedrocha. There's another place. It's a source in Devarim, Sefer Devarim, of where we learn how to treat others. And that comes from the concept of a halachta bedrachav, to walk in a Kadosh Baruch Hu's ways. Mahu rachum afata rachum. Just like Hashem is merciful, you should be merciful. And this is the idea, lidabek b'midosav, to cling to God's ways. And this is a whole different aspect of what the idea of chesed is about. Source number 11, a deeper sense loving kindness is called the Derech Hashem. It's one of the pathways of the Ribono Sholom. Avraham Avinu, by doing this act of chesed, is a double service. On a simple level, he reflected his Creator every single moment. He represented godliness in the world by emulating Kadosh Baruch Hu to the extent a human being is capable. And this included actively providing for the welfare of the inhabitants of the earth. In this sense, he was a living example of the divine image. As a Tzelem Elohim, as somebody who is created in the divine image, we try to be as godlike as possible. And how was Avraham Avinu as godlike as possible? By emulating HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just like Hashem is a master who's a giver, and God looks for opportunities to give, and Hashem has rachamim and chanun and mercy on his creations, likewise we too follow in his ways and express and demonstrate mercy, compassion, etc. Now, the Nafka Mina, second paragraph in 12.3, the major difference, if we look at it, you'll say, what's the difference? So is the obligation from V'haftarecha Kamocha to love your friend like yourself, or is the obligation from V'alachta V'drocha from following Hashem's ways? What difference does it make? So it makes a humongous difference. The Nafka Mina between these two is the difference between the Chesed of Avraham Avinu and the Chesed of Iyov. When our rabbis tell us that Iyov did not even come to a half of the level of Avraham Avinu, it's because what was motivating Iyov, what the standard of chesed in his mind was a reflection of v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. And obviously, when you're loving someone like yourself, there will be a limitation called yourself. When self comes in the way, so then we are limiting ourselves on how much we want to give to others. And that's why Iyov is sitting in his tent. That's why Iyov is giving everybody what they are used to getting. That's why Iyov didn't prompt people to go above and beyond and thank Hashem. But Avraham Avinu, who understands from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Hashem created the world as we know in order to give to others, this in the asterisk in 13 is the whole idea, Kedei Litzor Sharut Shel Hatava, that God, and we know God, Rabbi Kaplan speaks of that, comes from the word good, the related term, because God's whole point in this world is to be able to bestow goodness. Kach Haytabkup Midotav Hevi Et Avraham Avinu L'Chapeis. Avraham Avinu was looking for how can I become a better giver? How can I have opportunities? Just like Hashem all day is giving, I too want to give. And if I don't have an opportunity in front of me to actually give, then I'm going to look for opportunities to give. If it's just based on v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, then I look at what's in front of me. I have no opportunities for chesed. Okay, there are no opportunities for chesed. What do you want? But if your mindset is to be godlike, so then kechom hayom in the heat of the day, no air conditioning, my friends. A third day of Bris Mila, no morphine in those days, my friends. Avraham Avinu is going out and searching for guests because his mindset is, I can't just sit passively by. I want to be a giver. I want to be somebody who's going to be in a godlike situation. And I want to bring everybody, ultimately, the arrow in 13, to a level of chesed ruchani, to be able to bring them to a level of appreciation of all this chesed comes from clinging to God, who is the source of everything. Now we can understand on one level, in source number 14, L'fizeh yesh lahavin, ma'di'ite b'gemara amar of Yehuda amar rav, gedol lach l'asarochim, ma'kabalos p'nei shechina. Now we can understand what it means that Avraham Avinu kivyachol said, Hashem, please wait while I welcome in the guests. V'avir b'zeh shalom roche kabalah p'nei shechina, davar niskav mo. Although taking in this revelation is a very high level, adayin ein b'zeh hitabkut b'midotav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it's passive. You are not actively following the midos, the ways of Hashem. But Hachnasat Orachim was the way to be able to do a practical halicha bedrachav, a dveikus to Hashem. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as if, says the Chazon Lamaig, was testing Avraham Avinu. Where are you at in terms of chesed? And Avraham Avinu said, I'll tell you where I'm at in chesed. It's not just enough for me to have a rendezvous with you, Hashem, and I'm passively taking in this wonderful experience of the Shekhinah. Not that I could really describe it to you. I've never experienced it, my friends, but we can almost imagine what a wonderful, blissful experience this may be. Avraham Avinu says, that's very nice. But you know what? It's lacking. It's lacking because I am passive in this experience. How can I best come close to you? It's not just by sitting passively and receiving your presence. How I can best become close to you is to actively follow in your path. And how are you lidabek bedracha? It's by taking in guests. So Avraham Avinu is really saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as pleasant as this experience is, I know of a way to get even closer to you now. And that's by taking in the guests. And that's how Avraham Avinu was able to say such a thing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not really putting Hashem on hold. It's saying to Hashem, I'm getting close to you through this experience. And it's really getting closer than the revelation itself. And that's why Robertson Feldbrand, in this tremendous sefer called Midos, which takes the Yud Gimel Midos of based on the sefer, it's found in the book of Micha, and translates it into practically how we can emulate these Midos in our lives. She notes in source 16, when cooking or cleaning, giving someone a lift, teaching, keeping someone company, or cheering someone up, remind yourself that you are sustaining creation and cleaving to the Creator by doing chesed with His children. That's the mindset v'halachta b'dracha, that every time we do chesed, whether it's at home or in our community, we're doing chesed with Hashem's children. And now we can understand on the first level, in Source 17 on the next page, that Avram and Sarah were worthy to have Yitzchak, and all the chesed of Chag HaPesach comes from this experience. Because the experience is an experience where Avraham Avinu is showing the importance of being able to follow the Kadosh Baruch Hu's way. He's explaining that Gemilus Chasadim is about having a real connection with the Kadosh Baruch Hu and being able to actively live in a Kadosh Baruch Hu's ways. If we just take this idea one step further and one step deeper, we can understand why it really doesn't matter that there were angels on the receiving end. Very beautiful idea that's found in Rav Avraham Halevi Shur Sefer Alekach V'Alibuv, where he points out a very interesting tshuva of the Avnei Nezer, where the Avnei Nezer speaks about an individual who there is, let's say, a collective charity for the community, and an individual refuses to give. So it speaks about how the Beis Din, the court of law, is not allowed to go into this person's possessions and forcibly take, you know, withdraw from their account the amount that he owes for the communal money. And discussing this idea, he quotes the Maharal on the mitzvah Shiluach HaKan of sending away the mother bird, that the Mishnah tells us that we don't do it because of Hashem's mercy. We do it because, right, that Hashem has mercy on the bird. That's not why we shoo away the mother bird. We do it because this is a gzeira, a decree of Hashem. Let's continue in the underline in 19. Hashem shooing away the mother bird wants us to become people of rachamim. Not so much in terms of the bird, but in terms of developing our personality. It's a gzeira shadam yaseh pula shal rachamim, kidei sheyeh naseh b'zeh rachamim. Hashem wants us, the Maharal, that we should be involved in acts of kindness to make us kind people. And that's how we cling to God. That's why in parentheses, if a person has an option of giving $1,000 to an individual, or $1,000 1,000 times, it's better to give the $1,000 1,000 times, because that's how we develop the giving, the midah of rachamim over and over. So he says, based on this, Shagamit Stucka Kavanah, he came. Stucka's the same way. Shamitzvah hi shikayei masa netinas astaka. When we're talking about staka, it's about the aspect of giving. Because then you're involved in the pu'ula sharachamim, then the aspect of giving. The mitzvah is not on the kabbalat ha-mikabel. The mitzvah of staka, says the Avnei Nezer, is not on the receiver. God has many ways to give this person staka, right? Right. Money can come flying out of many places. The mitzvah of staka is not so much on the one receiving it as the one who gives it. That Hashem wants the person giving it to be able to follow in Hashem's ways, to be dovuk b'midosa. That's why, says the Avnei Nezer, a Beis Din can come along and take the money. Because if the whole idea was on the receiver, so you're right, the Beis Din would come and take the money and the receiver would get the money. But that's not the point. The point is that the person has to give the money. When you write out that check, when you give the money, you become somebody who has rachamim. You become somebody who is the giver. And that's the key. It's not about the mekabel, it's not about the receiver, it's about the giver. And continues the Lekach Valipur. This is the difference, according his father, the Orgadayahu. This is the difference between the chesed of Noah, and we would add the chesed of Eel, and the chesed we call the Vahafta Recha Kamocha chesed, and the chesed of Abraham. The chesed of Eel, the chesed of Noah, is the chesed a person does because they feel bad for the Mekabel. They feel bad for the person, and it really pains them. And therefore they want to, you know, get themselves out of this painful situation, they help out. But it's really based on the receiver. While the chesed of Avraham, the chesed of Valachta Bedrachav, is the asterisk in 20. Sharei Kadosh Baruch Hu Oseh Chesed Mipnei Shechafetz Chesed Hu. Hashem is doing chesed because he desires chesed. And it's not the way, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have this idea of tsar of the Mekabel. For Avraham Avinu, who is the Merkava of Midas HaChesed, did the Chesed, because this is the Midah of Hashem, that he wanted to do goodness in this world, and the world rests on Chesed. And that's why he quotes a beautiful idea in 21, Rabbunim, very famous Hasidic personality. This explains the Pasuk by Tztaka, which says, Natong titein lo velo yiralu vavcha betitcha lo. Natong titein, when you're giving staka, natong titein, double language. Give and give again. So explains Rav Brunim so beautifully. You see, our normal reaction when we see somebody in need or in pain is we give them because we feel bad. That's where we're at. We're on the level of Noah, Chaviyo, Vahavterecha, Kamocha, give. So give, natong, give. But then you know what, my friends? Then after you've given, and now you feel a little bit better, yeah, you've calmed down your conscience, now give again, titein. But now when you give, you're giving because of the halachta b'drachav. Now when you're giving because this is what it means to be a Jew. This is what it means to be a notate. And therefore, our punchline in 23. That is why the quintessential aspect of chesed is when there is no mekabel, when there is no receiver. Who received their angels? Shilahem ain't no nogea calling yana chila vachlos arachim. To them, there's no concept of food. Lo hodia to teach us, kimala sachesach lavram, lo haitamitzad zeshiesh mekabel. To teach us that what was driving Avravino is not the mekabel, not the receiver. Rak misad mala sachesach yesh ben notain vahavain. But rather know the power of the one who gives. That this is what we need to work on. We need to be people. The level of Avraham Avinu, the quality of Avraham Avinu, is somebody who says, I can connect with Hashem even on a deeper level by emulating Hashem, by being a giver. And the greatest way to be godlike is just like God does chesed to the world, we too look for opportunities of chesed because we want to be a notate. Not because we feel bad for somebody, but because we have the desire to give. And that, my friend, is the mark of what every Jewish person is about. It's about emulating Kodesh Baruch Hu and being a giver. There's a very famous story, very brief story, of the Chafetz Chaim, who one day his grandnephew was traveling home from yeshiva, and he realized that the train was late. He'd never make it home, so he asked the conductor, you know, what cities are we stopping in that he'd be able to get off in at least a Jewish town and be able to have Shabbos and then continue on after Shabbos. So when he was told that they were stopping in Radin, he knew his great-uncle, his grandfather's brother, Chafetz Chaim, lived there. So he got off the train right before Shabbos and ran to the Chafetz Chaim's home, cot, whatever you may want to call it. So Chafetz Chaim's wife took him in, very hospitable, and mentioned that Chafetz Chaim likes to go to shul very early on Friday afternoon and be able to prepare himself and speak to the tzibur. And she said to the boy, you know what, you still have the time before Shabbos. Why don't you lie down and rest? You've had a very hard journey. And then we'll have Shabbos. So the boy lies down. And when he gets up, he sees the Chafetz Chaim sitting at a Shabbos table with a sefer. Chaim sees that he got up, gives him a big Shalom Aleichem. He says, you know, Washnegovasser, come, let's have Kiddush. He gets his wife, they make Kiddush, and they have a whole Suda. And the Chafetz Chaim excuses himself, and he says he needs to go to sleep. The boy, who just had this very large rest, wasn't really tired, so he tried to lie down. He wasn't able to. He went into the kitchen and sees what time it is. It's 4 a.m. It seemed dark outside, 4 a.m. It wasn't such a long meal. He couldn't make heads or tails of it. So the next morning, he asked the Chafetz Chaim's wife, like, what happened? So Chafetz Chaim's wife said, you know what, we weren't going to tell you, but now that you ask, I'll tell you what happened. He fell into such a deep sleep that when my husband came home, he said, don't wake him up. And my husband had my son make Kiddush for me, and we had a whole Suda. And my husband said he would wait until you would wake up, and then he would wake me up as well, as if, you know, nothing has happened, and we'd have the Suda. And the Chafetz Chaim waited till 4 in the morning. That is a sense of somebody who is a note, somebody who is a giver. Somebody who is just doing this because he feels bad, you know, it's 4 in the morning. I'd like to eat before 4 in the morning. I'm going to wake this kid up. Like, you know, you can get to sleep afterwards. But a person who is a giver, a person who is a notain, is a person who looks for opportunities to give to others. And my friends, I think this is essential. When we're talking about hachnasat orchim, when we're talking about being a person of chesed, we're talking about somebody who's into giving, and as we'll speak about now, without making another person feel bad, but I look for opportunities to give. I look for opportunities to be hospitable. And I'll just add here parenthetically. I have heard in different communities where I have lived and I have experienced where people have told me they have walked into a shul as a stranger, as a visiting person in a community, and they were shocked that people have not said, Shalom Aleichem, are you new here? Do you need a place to eat? Do you have what you need for Shabbos? My friends, if we are somebody who are really the B'nai Avraham Avinu, we are going to look for opportunities at every new face to be a notain, whether the person needs it or not. The person could be here for a simcha. It's not about the makabel. It's not about the receiver. Go over and say a shalom aleichem and make sure the person has their need. That's being a notain. That's being a giver. That's focusing on giving, not on the receiver. What are some aspects of being a giver? What are some aspects that makes a chnasar orchim, a viable achnasar orchim as a giver? So some of the ideas that are found in the Sfarim, we'll just mention a couple, 27, Tiva Avoda, Rav Rabinowitz. It's very important that when you do a kindness for another person, that you give them the feeling that they're really doing you the favor. You shouldn't make it out to be such a big deal that this is so difficult. And this is the idea that the Sam Derech, the Chevron Rosh Hashiva, points out that the ways of tzaddikim are to promise a little and more ma'at v'asei harbeh. Avraham Avinu said in Source 30, Yukach na'mat ma'im u'pat lechem, you know, take a little water, some bread, you know, small meal, nothing major. And he brings out Shech's three cows, tongue, pickled, ready. You know, he brings out this whole Suda. And he says this is very important, A, in terms of sneas, that you don't try to lord over, you know, your kindness and how great you are. It's not the meat of sneas. I'm going to provide for you the greatest, you know, meal. And he says it's also very important in terms of the way the guests feel. If you start describing this lavish meal that you're about to make for the guest, so the guest is going to feel uncomfortable. Please, don't go through all the trouble for me. I'm fine. You don't have to bother. I'm really fine. If you just say to the guest, you know what, I'll just prepare some small things that we'll be able to have, a little small lunch together. The guest feels fine. Sure, you know what? Well, you know, we'll have a snack together. And then you bring out a lavish meal. The person doesn't feel as if you have gone out of your way for such a person. And that's the quality, again, of following in Hashem's ways, where Hashem says two words, the end of 31, Dan Anochi, I will have judgment on the nation that harmed you in Egypt. And boy, the description of the retribution is massive. You say a little and you do a lot. Practically speaking, Rabbi Pliskin in the Sefer on Kindness speaks about doing more than you have been asked will enable the recipient of your kindness to feel better about all that you have done for him before, are doing now, and will do for him in the future. The extra thing you do could be a relatively minor thing, but the benefits are major. I asked him to lend me $500. I've overwhelmed when he offered me on his own $2,000. And he said, thank you for asking. It's my pleasure. I asked my friends if I could stay at their house for a few days. They told me their house was available for even a month. The entire week I was their guest, I felt totally at home. I asked a few questions about how to use my new computer. I was treated to a full 3-hour lesson. I asked for a lift and experienced and expected to walk from my neighbor's house to my own. Instead, the driver went out of his way to take me all the way home. These are small examples of what chesed is about. Chesed is about, if you really feel what it means to be a notain, a giver, then we're going to go out of our way to give to others above and beyond. The second aspect of being a notate, that you're focusing on giving and not so much the receiver, is 35, Tiferet Shimshon, relatively new Sefer, Rav Pinkus' insights on Sefer Breishit, where he speaks about, generally, a person, if they have a very hush of a guest, you know, prepares a grand feast. And if they have, you know, what we call a regular person, a pashtunayin, they prepare a much simpler feast. He says, really, hachnasat orachim is about every person is created in the image of God. And if you're really a notain, you're really a giver, it doesn't matter whether, im notnim lachad yoter ki magia lo, 36, v'lachad pacho ki magia lo, if you give each one according to their financial status or the kavod status, that's not real giving. That's giving bedin. Rakim notanim b'li gvul b'li chashbon l'chol echad zehu chesed amiti. That is real giving. So the second aspect of giving is giving in terms of giving your all to every single person. As again, Rav Feldman Bremen had pointed out, these are God's children. And you give to each one of God's children in the most beautiful and pleasant way as possible. The final nakuda on this level before moving to the second aspect is something that Rav Reitz points out in a Sefer on the Parashah Lahavim Lahaskil in 39. Nimsenu lemedin shakaratoi tana shalav ravinu beborei it's not by accident that Avraham Avinu was the Midah of Chesed. It's also the individual with Emuna, with faith in Hashem. Because he says the two have to work hand in hand together. And this, my friends, we see so often. If a person's level of Chesed is just based on feelings, on V'ahavta Recha Kamocha, then it's very limited on the type of chesed you're going to do. And you're going to rationalize, and you're going to weigh every single situation. That's why Rav Moshe speaks about it's chesed ve'emes. You first do chesed, and then you weigh emes, whether, you know, they really deserved it or not. Our minds come along saying, do we really need to give this person? Does this person really deserve it? Does everyone who comes knocking at my door really need this? Does this person really need such a great meal? When we're dealing with the chesed of being a giver just based on our conscience, so then there are limitations. But if I'm doing it because of Matatio Deo, what we're talking about, the model of Avraham Avinu, that is greater than HaKabbalah's Pnei Shechina because it's emulating Hashem, so that I'm focused on doing chesed, because this is part of my avodas Hashem. This is part of my emunah. This is part of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is teaching me to do. And I have a very definite guideline from the Torah of how to give, when to give, and to whom to give. And it gives a very powerful mashal at the end of 40. Mashal l'mah davar domeh, l'sha'on, to a watch. Even if you were going to wear the most sophisticated watch, if you go to the store and you just buy a watch and it's not, you know, set to any time, and you put it on, it could have the capacity to be the most, you know, precise watch in the world, but it's not going to tell you the right time, because first you have to set the time. Setting the time means to be able, he says, Matzpuno shel adam afu kishaon. Our conscience is like this watch. Misugala ro l'adam et darko, tap 41. It can show us the way in life, but rak im yut'an l'ratzon helyon. But you have to set it to the right setting, and that's the will of God. Yirat shamayim imarechet havkara hamavticha shel to shaon matzpuni yeh nachon. That setting the watch based on the standards of HaKadosh Baruch Hu will ensure that every action you are doing in chesed is the correct one. And that explains how Avraham Avinu, who is this ish chesed of emulating Hashem, can throw out a son like Yishmael and can potentially kill a son like Yitzchak in the Akedah. Because he's not doing it based on personal feelings. He's doing it because it is tied together with emunah. It's tied together with knowing this is Ritzon Hashem. So my friends, let's just summarize the first level, and we're then going to enter into what I think is the Chiddush for today. The first level, what is this section about? It's about how Avraham Avinu understands that chesed is not about the makabel, about the receiver. They can be angels. They can enjoy nothing. It's about me being the notain. It's about me being the giver. And me being the giver, not based on a hafterecha kamocha like Noah and like Eov, which is limited. I stay in my tent and I feed everyone what they need. But it's based on v'alachta b'drocha, to be godlike. And to be godlike means to be given. And that's why he could kivyachol say to Hashem, wait, because here's a higher experience of coming close to you, a more active experience of coming closer to you, to be lahadbik b'drachav, to follow in Hashem's ways. It's to be godlike in terms of being this aspect of a notain. And when you're a notain, you're about, and more ma'afas arbe. You say a little, you have the midah snios, but you give a lot. And you give to the person whatever area they need. And you give to everyone equally, because you understand that everyone is God's children. And it's not based on society, what level that they make them. A person can be, you know, a beggar on the street, or a person can be a millionaire. You treat everybody with the respect that they deserve. But then, my friends, there comes another aspect of chesed. And this is from Felsky in 44. More specifically, Avraham Avinu trained the world to see the kindness of Hashem in every aspect of creation through the undivided attention he gave the needs of each and every person. This is a third and deeper level of understanding the quality of loving kindness. For the nature of Gmilus Chasadim is that it serves to raise those who receive it to the awareness of the one who brought the world into existence, who bestows his kindness upon the world at every single moment. He demonstrated to his guests and to the entire world the tangible presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and how strongly and subtly he manifests the presence to all the chassadim that he performs. But he takes this even further, and this is the Chiddush for today. When Hashem comes to visit Avraham Avinu, Vayera Elav Hashem, when Hashem appears to him, he doesn't appear to him out of context. He appears to him in the middle or through the medium of the chesed of Bikur Cholim. It's not that Hashem just came out one day and appeared to Avraham Avinu. And Avraham Avinu said, hold on, Hashem, wait a second, let me take and guess. No. At the moment that Hashem was coming to Avraham Avinu, he was coming to him in the guise of doing an act of chesed of Bikur Cholim. We discover then the arrow in 44 on the bottom, that the Ribono Shel Olam appearance of Avraham Avinu took place specifically through an act of chesed. The star, This is no coincidence. It is intimately related to Avraham Avinu's subsequent act of chesed to three travelers. Just as the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the top of the next page, 45, revealed his presence to Avraham Avinu through chesed, so too Avraham Avinu would bring awareness of the Ribono Shel Olam to the world through chesed. What does this mean? So we know that the Chovos HaVavos and Shaar Bechina speaks about different acts of chesed, different level. The general level of Hashem, of kindness in the world, like the development of a fetus, its gradual maturation. Those are the general levels of chesed. And then there's the further aspect of chesed for the Jewish people, God's unique relationship with them. But the third most intimate level of kindness is the attention HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to an individual. Hashem provides for each person's needs in a very precise way. Thus, every individual receives untold kindness from his Creator, personally tailored to his exact requirements. And this is what Avraham Avinu was telling in this situation. When Avraham Avinu has HaKadosh Baruch Hu visited him on this most painful day of the circumcision, it demonstrated that Hashem can be seen by an individual through the personal experience of his kindness. For Avraham Avinu, that display of kindness was a revelation of Hashem itself, a new level of prophetic insight. It wasn't, says Rav Belsky, that Hashem just appeared to him. By Hashem appearing to him through the mitzvah of the chesed of Bikur Cholim, Hashem was telling Avraham Avinu, let me teach you a deeper level of the way I interact with the world. And that is, I'm very well aware of every individual in their simcha, in their joy, and their tsar, in their pain. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Avraham Avinu on the third day of the Bris Mila, the most painful day, he's saying to Avraham Avinu, I care about you as an individual. That was the prophetic experience that Avraham Avinu had. And what does Avraham Avinu do with this experience? He says, Hashem, I got the message. I understand that the real aspect of chesed, to imitate you, is not just to be a noting, not just to be a giver, but there is also an aspect of the sensitivity of the mekabel, that when I give to somebody, I have to be able to be sensitive to their needs, to be able to develop that person, to be able to tend to their specific needs. And that, in 46, Avram taking leave of Kadosh Baruch Hu was nothing other than his carrying out of the Nevuah Bikur Cholim. It's not telling Hashem, I'm putting you on hold. It's saying, Hashem, I got the message. You're telling me something very deep here. Now let me take this message and put it into practice. And that's the way Avraham Avinu did this chesed. And this is the idea, indeed, the end of 46. If one studies this parsha intently, he'll discover the recipe for performing kindness of a chnasat orchin to the fullest extent. Hospitality is not simply providing a meal and a bed to a tired and hungry traveler. It is much more than that. The host is capable of restoring the soul as well as the body of his guest. He can rekindle the hope and self-respect of a lonely traveler and provide with him with the emotional fortitude to face any difficulties he may encounter. And that's why to have people at one's table who are going through emotional difficulties in life, perhaps not only those who are traveling through life physically, but those who are on a tumultuous journey spiritually, physically, whether a yosom, an almana, people who are emotionally perhaps challenged, to be able to give to them. And I've witnessed individuals, I've seen this in my own eyes, being at people's tables who have a gift to make every person feel like they are the most special person. That is really the nekuda of what Hachnasat Orchim is about. That's what it means to bringing in guests. It's a level that Avraham Avinu is showing here that he learned from Hashem himself. It's not just enough to take care of the physical needs of the guest, and to be a notator and a giver, but it's also about taking care of the psychological needs, to be able to treat each and every guest where they are at, and to be able to build them up that when they leave your house, they leave a different person than when they came. Before we conclude and tie the whole piece together, I'd just like to go through some of the ideas that's found in the Sefer we've met before of Ahavta L'Re'acha, Rav David Ariyav, who goes through some technical aspects of Achnasar Orchim just to keep in mind. And perhaps even before we begin, a great piece that Rebbetzin Felbrand brings again is when two Jews meet in 48, something good should result for a third. That's the model of how we can do good. So in 50, we'll just go through this very briefly. It's better that you yourself deal with the Orchim rather than having somebody else do it. You get them the cup of coffee, etc. Obviously, if it's not out of laziness, but it's out of chinuch banim that you want to train your children, so then you train your children to bring in the food or, you know, prepare the drinks for the guests. You take in a guest with sever panim yafot in 51 with a nice countenance. 52, don't tell them your worries and your woes. That's not treating them nicely. It's just making them feel burdened, both from you as the giver and they as the receiver. You don't burden them with what's going on in your life. Likewise, he goes on to say that a person should make sure that their guest feels comfortable. The end of 54, if there are many different types of food on the table, make sure that they're all passed around. You know, in Israel in particular, like salads, and everywhere really, you know, you can have like, you know, five or six different courses of salad and you just put them down. So people are embarrassed to ask, pass this, pass this, pass this. So they just eat the salad in front of them. And particularly as a woman who's orchestrating the table, as we all know, make sure the salad gets passed around. Make sure there, you know, if there's enough food that seconds go around so that people feel comfortable instead of asking and being embarrassing, you know, that you want this extra food. And in 56, Yeshnan akarot bayit asher nimna'ot melazmin orchim. There are some that don't invite in guests because they say, my house will never need enough. I don't have enough food that's nice enough. If you always say that, you will never do the mitzvah of achnasar orchim. Give what you have. Do the best of your ability. It's better to give. 55, don't be too cumbersome on your guests. If you see that they want to leave, so then let them go. Don't extend the meal. You know, some people like to have a five-hour lunch, and these people are itching to get out. So if you understand who you're in front of, then let them leave earlier. I learned this loud and clear when I was still new on the seminary scene, my first year having girls, Baruch Hashem. You know, we have many girls for Suda. So I remember my first year here, I said to the girls, who would like to pick another song? And one girl said, how about Shir HaMalos? Which then I knew loud and clear I had overstayed their welcome, so to speak, in terms of not feeling that this meal was going on too long. And that's something you have to get a sense of. When the meal's going on too long, so you bench without the girls in a very overt type of way trying to tell you this. 57, you make sure that they have a comfortable sleeping arrangement. 58, you escort the guests. And as we mentioned earlier, mitzvah lovot tareach b'tzeito lo derech is part of the greatest part of the mitzvah of achnasar orchim. Some just suggest it's because you don't benefit from it. When you serve them a nice meal, they thank you, and the nice accommodations, wow, your house is so comfortable, so nice, so you feel good about it. You gain some pleasure. Here, when you escort them, you're just doing this for the sake, as we spoke about in Matatio Deo, to be a giver. But we're also sensitive about the one who leaves, and that's part of the idea that we spoke about, that when they leave, they should leave as a different person. And at 59, you're not allowed to leave the one you escort. You escort them down the road, down to the bus, wherever they may go, to their car. You should allow them to be out of your eyesight before you go back. 60, yesh l'tzayed et ha'reach b'mazon l'derech. You should give the person food for the way. And I'll tell you, my friends, it's not a small thing, and it's something that sometimes we think about, sometimes not. I'll tell you quite personally, you know, as I mentioned last time, in Yirtzeh Hashem, I'm going on this 3-week trip to America, which is, in my mind, really a dreadful trip in terms of being away from my family, my home, and my own jobs, and my routine, and my own life here. And Baruch Hashem, I stay at somebody's house who, although it's not what we call a convenient location, it's in the five towns, which is not really user-friendly for, you know, all my contacts. It's a home that really describes this type of achnasar orchim. And when a person feels so at home and it's made to feel so comfortable, you drive the extra 20 minutes, whatever it is. And one of those things, it's a small thing, but it's a major thing, is that this individual packs me up. She knows I leave at 7 in the morning, and sometimes I'm out till late at night. She packs me up a lunch with snacks and drinks for the entire day. And it's something small, but you know what? It makes a big difference. Instead of having to find along the way places to eat, you know you have something to munch on in the car. And it's interesting because recently I met somebody who said to me, you know, you come to America, why don't you stay by me? So almost half kiddingly, I said, well, I have this person who makes me lunch. You know, like you can't get better than that. She said, oh, you want lunch? Forget about that. I can't give you that. I can give you a nice place to stay, but you expect me to make you, you know, say the there? Forget it. Even though it may have been a light type of conversation, it says something. I understand people are busy, but that extra 10 minutes can make a humongous difference to the Oreach, and particularly, as we see in 61, the mitzvah of Hachnasat Orchim is not to do Hachnasat Orchim with friends. When I invite friends down the block to come eat a Shabbos meal by me, that's not Hachnasat Orchim. That's nice. It's hospitality, maybe, in English, but it's not Hachnasat Orchim. Hachnasat Orchim is somebody who needs the meal. It's somebody who's coming from out of town. If you invite somebody, your friend, over because someone's coming from out of town, then that turns it into Hachnasat Orchim. So that is really what we're talking about here. We're talking about the ability to really give somebody who needs that nourishment, who needs that extra, you know, feeling of, you know, you're not in your own home, or on a metaphysical level, in life, you're not settled right now. Whether it's a divorced woman, a widowed woman, whatever it is, to be able to give them this this feeling of building them up, of giving them this good feeling. And we know in 63b that those who do the mitzvah Hachnasat Orchim, it has the ability for Hashem to overlook evil. It has the ability lahashros hashchina. We know in 65 when the Beis Hamikdash existed, the altar atoned for man's sin. Now his table serves this purpose. And really, as Rav Moshe says, quoting the Shlach Kadosh, the mitzvah of Hachnasat Orchim is such a great mitzvah because it's really the mitzvah Hashem does 24/7. We are living in Hashem's world. Hashem, we are God's guests. So really, to do the mitzvah of Hachnasat Orchim really correctly is being imitatio Deo, is emulating Hashem, who's doing the mitzvah of Hachnasat Orchim every moment that we live on earth. Now, my friends, our final idea, and we will see a beautiful summary. Rav Belsky points out in 68, we know our rabbis tell us that Moshe Rabbeinu went up to the heavens. The angel said, hey, what are you doing giving the Torah down to these earthly people? Kadosh Baruch Hu responded, but you angels yourselves benefited from the table of Avraham Avinu. 70. In a much deeper sense, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying something very different. He was reminding the angels of the experience of eating in the house of Avraham Avinu, the first Jew. They had come to bestow a bracha, but came away elevated from the powerful revelation of divine presence they encountered there. The house of Avraham Avinu was a mishkan, a tabernacle to Hashem, where even an angel could be inspired to a greater awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is the gavlus of why is this the story of the Hachnasat Orchim, of Avraham Avinu, when the angels don't even accept anything? Because this is the Chiddush, that even the angels were transformed by this new reality of Avraham Avinu, that even they came away as different people as a result of the chesed of Avraham Avinu. And we can imagine if angels are going to come away different, alachaykama v'kama, how much more so? A table and food and that warmth and that feeling can build up, can restore, can make a lonely and tired and hungry person be changed into an entirely different person. And now, my friends, before we summarize, we can go back into the Medrash about Eov. When the Medrash uses imagery, it's always to teach us a different lesson. What was the imagery of Eov? That they had this conversation back in Source 5. That they would meet each other. Where are you going? Where are you coming from? And their response was from the house of Eov. You know something, my friends? They came from the house of Eov. They're going to the house of Eov. But they don't change. They're the same person when they come and when they go. That's the difference between Avraham Avinu and Eov. The difference is that they stay the same. And that's why Avraham Avinu feeds every person not what they're used to. What they're used to is not sufficient. You try to build the person up. You try to give them even more than that they have. That's the idea of what the Hachnasat Orchim of Avraham Avinu was about. That's the difference. And that brings them to a level of closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, in conclusion, my friends, why is this section so fundamental? Because it teaches us first and foremost what it means to be a notain, a giver, irrelevant whether the angels ate or not. It teaches us that Moramad Vaser Bay, it teaches us to give all people the same. It also teaches us, my friends, that following in Hashem's ways is even greater than the nevuah, than the prophecy that our Ravina received. And on the second level, it's teaching us something even deeper about Va'alachta B'drachav. That our Ravina understood that when Hashem came to him, he was teaching this lesson of the importance of the individual. That our Ravina understood that Hashem cared about him in his pain on the third day. Avraham Avinu took this message and immediately went and cared for who they were. And even angels were changed from this experience. And that's our challenge. The height of hospitality is unlike Eo's tent where they came and they left and they were the same person. I'm coming from Eo's tent and I'm leaving Eo's tent. By Avraham Avinu's tent, they became changed individuals. Their whole personality was different. And that is reflected in the mitzvah of Levaya to escort. Because now when you escort out this person, you're escorting out a totally different person than beforehand. And how do we reflect this? By saying, I care about you. I'm going to watch till I see the dust going off into the horizon. Because each and every individual needs that attention. And Hachnasat Orchim, hospitality, is an incredible medium for us to be able to give all of God's children this love and attention that each and every one of us deserves.